Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, we're the Money War. I'm Carmen.
I'm Dylan.
And we're from Western Australia.
I know that. Yeah. That Perth place. 12 to 13 years old-ish, self-taught, between the two of you?
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
So we've got that. Carmen, you had a family band.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I want to hear, come on. Okay. Who cares about the Money War music? The Money
Watt.
Right. Which we'll get to in a few minutes. Who cares about that when we can talk about your family band? Come on, let's get to the big, deep rock and roll.
Well, Dad used to play in a band. Well, he used to play kind of in a band and stuff solo when he was in his 20s. He used to play at venues that we actually play at now in Perth, in Fremantle, which is pretty cool. The name's changed, but yeah, that was.
And they still have the same terrible bathrooms that they probably
had
back
then.
Yeah,
Dad said it looks exactly the same. They just painted the front of the building.
In fact, they have the same beer. It's the same keg of beer.
Yeah, I'd say so.
they're still pouring from that same keg.
The lines haven't been cleaned since 1979.
Yeah. Well, that's how you get the lager, right?
Yeah. That's
okay.
What did they play?
Dad used to write his own stuff, so.
It wasn't a cover songs band. It was a real band.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of covers. I'd say there was definitely some James
Were
Taylor.
Were you alive for any of that?
No, I wasn't.
Ah.
I've seen him, like, jamming with his mates that he used to be in a band with, but
what's that like? Is that creepy? Or is it cool?
It's cool.
Well,
it's a little
it's
bit,
not creepy, huh?
Like, I don't know, I used to think it was a bit lame when I was a kid, but now I'm like, oh, it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, except for when they play the same song over and over again.
Yeah, my dad is a one
but
for doing that.
Let's get to the self-taught thing. Now, I know that was it you who used to listen to music and play along? One of you I know used to listen to music and play along.
Yeah. So I used to do that and play along. And or, like, just as I was learning, the, like, guitar tabs were a thing. So it would say, like, the number and the fret that you would play, the string that you'd play on, and I would just kind of like learn from that. So I kind of like my technique's all messed up, like completely. Like I play with my thumb and I don't really use my pinky.
Where do you both, if you're quote self-taught, where do you get to that moment where you go, okay, I can now play exactly what some, because that's the thing about tabs, right? And these sites,
sure,
is you learn to play what somebody else can play. But where's that moment where you both kind of said, okay, this is fun. I can play somebody else's music. I want to do my own thing.
Oh, like when we started writing our own stuff?
Yeah, when do you remember actually?
Pretty shortly after for me, because like I always heard music in my head and started adapting like ideas. But I just started, like the first stuff was really bad and really basic, and then it kind of went from there.
Yeah, like the first thing I ever learned was not like, when I say self-taught, I mean, my dad taught me how to play Blackbird on the guitar,
Beatles.
Which is actually not a very easy song, but
no, it's not. Because
he broke it down into little parts, so I'd learn a little bit this and then that, and then once I got that, it was the next bit. So I ended up learning the whole song, and it's sort of simple in a way when you learn it that way. Anyway, so once I'd learned that, then he was trying to teach me how to sing and play it because he thought that was important to start singing and playing at the same time. And then he started teaching me a couple of chords, and I had this little book that had all the chord shapes in there, so I'd look through and try and work out which ones were easy to play, and that's when I started to learn other people's songs. And then once I knew a bunch of chords, I started writing my own songs from that. So,
what a concept. Now, I don't think any place that I've read, how did the two of you meet?
I used to play in a band called Warning Birds, and
right,
Dylan
you were both in separate
was
bands,
in another
right?
band. Yeah.
So were you gigging at the same place?
Yes. Yeah, we used to play a lot together.
Yeah, good guess. That's pretty much what happened. And then Carmen actually sung on one of my band's songs, and then like we just liked the way it sounded and kept going from there. Started this.
You went on a road trip.
Yeah.
You live in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
How did you decide? Oh, we're going to go on a road trip.
We went with a bunch of friends, so we were already playing music together at that point. Carmen had sung on my old band stuff, and it was a holiday with some friends, and like at that point we
and
had
the two of you just decided to go and hang.
Pretty much, yeah. Like before that, we had no plans to really start a band again. We were kind of like done with music and stuff, and yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt purposely. Done with music.
I mean, it was just after the band broke up. The last band broke up. So we were, like, pretty just
burnt on being in bands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, kind of had tricked ourselves into thinking we were never going to do it again, which lasted not long. But
I remember Dylan saying, "Yeah, I think I'm just going to like go and get a real job." And
what would the real job have been?
There was a moment where I was like painting walls at the cricket place and moving chairs.
That's not a real job.
Yeah, it's not. I have a degree. Yeah, I studied.
What's your degree in?
It's in music business. Well, I mean, the truth is we've both been in bands and writing songs for, you know, 10 to 15 years now.
It's not off the Apple truck.
Yeah, like I've had 5 or 6 bands and been in, like, I record bands for a living. That's what I do for my income now mostly.
So you decided to go on this road trip. And you just decided California was like the ultimate, like you wanted to follow the Beach Boys?
Well, I hadn't been to the US at all. Dylan had.
Yeah, I mean, I have this romantic kind of connection with Jack Kerouac on the road. And, you know, when they do the Highway 1 and go to Big Sur, and it was something I've always wanted to do. And it was kind of like I was feeling pretty uninspired generally. And I was like, I'm going to do something that I've always wanted to do and get inspired.
I'm just going to lead you along. I'm going to lead you along the road here. But I need to know, what bar in San Francisco did you run into famous producer number one, Arnie?
Okay, it was called The Saloon.
Yeah, Arnie was playing in the house band there, and we had no idea who he was. And
Was the house band any good?
They were all right.
They were like a cover band, right?
He was filling in.
A bunch of old hippies, right?
It was, yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
He was actually filling in. But yeah, I just, you know, started chatting to him and said that I was a producer. Yeah. And he was like, well, actually, I'm a producer. And then I was like, oh, okay. I probably should shut my mouth because I don't know what I'm talking
about. And
then
you found out that he worked in Sausalito with the record plant and places like that.
Yeah, and like that he's kind of just like a legend. And we were like, oh, okay, this guy's legit. And he took us to his new studio and we went hiking in Mill Valley, which is beautiful. Like, what's the mountain there called? Like,
that would be Mount Tam. So he took you around. And then I'll do this in the announcer voice, what's left of it. Where was the vision along the road trip for the Money Wars? Vision.
I remember when we were up on Mount Tam hiking with Arnie, and we were talking about, like, our music and stuff, and it was just like, I don't know what was about it, maybe just because we're in such an amazing location as well, and, like, feeling really inspired by it.
We showed in the music, like, that like just iPhone stuff that I'd recorded along on the road trip so far, and he kind of was just like, his whole thing was like, well, what else are you going to do with your time? So, you know, you're obviously passionate about music and the songs are good, so what else are you going to do? So that was the attitude we took from there on, really.
And then where did producer number two, Tom, come in?
Yeah, so Tom I met. I'd been in contact with Tom for like years in my old
band. And tell us a little bit about, because I know Arnie, I know. Tell me a few things he's produced.
That Tom's produced?
Yeah.
So like the first thing that I got into was Little Joy, who's the drummer from The Strokes.
Got it. Okay, so more modern.
Yeah, he's very
indie. So you really had two very different perspectives.
Exactly. Yeah, and Tom's done like, what else has he done? Wild Nothing and
Got it, so very modern stuff.
Yeah.
Got it.
Lots of bands that we love. Yeah, and so that one was, like, not so much a chance. I just emailed him and said, like, would you be keen to meet up? And he was cool.
So Los Angeles is this plethora of opposites. There's Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive, and then you kind of go to the middle, to Venice. But then there is, come on, what am I going to get to? There's Skid Row.
It's funny that you mentioned Skid Row, because the first day of that road trip we're just talking about, when we arrived in L.A., we ended up in Skid Row by accident on foot. We didn't even have a car.
On foot.
It's only a few blocks from downtown, right? Skid Row. It's like,
oh, I know where it is.
It's like, so we were just like, oh, downtown, that's where everything's happening.
It's right next to the, quote, fashion district.
Yeah, the
all
fabric.
Those cheap stores with a million different fabrics in different languages.
Exactly.
And
we're walking through there like, what is this place?
So in like 10 minutes of walking, we were from downtown into Skid Row, and we
and
were
it's
like,
really, even during the day, it's really creepy.
It was really creepy, and we didn't even have our phones working at that point because we hadn't even been to the place to get our phones.
The cops actually drove past and were just like, what?
Looking at us like, what are these idiots doing here? Like, we just didn't know where we were, and then as soon as we realized where we were trying to find our way out, and we ended up going into like a little it's like the bus port where you buy the bus tickets and things like that, and the ladies behind the counter had all the glass in front of them. And there was people trying to talk to us and asking us for money.
Actually,
and then
we paid someone to kind of walk us out of there. Like, I think he was homeless, but he was like, it was just easy. He seemed the most trustworthy person. Anyway, I mean, nothing happened, but it was like, it was, as you said, it was like so shocking, because after that we went down to Santa Monica Pier, you know, and it was like,
which polar, there are lots, opposite.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like, it's
such Santa Monica's gorgeous by the beach.
Yeah.
How do you know, what is the filter for a song by The Money War?
I liked what you said before we were on air, about you don't really believe in genres. The thing that we're going for is mostly just like good melodies that are universal, that we're not, like, the messages are kind of just whatever we want to talk about at the time. I think just the main aim is just to have good songs, you know.
When you thought about this, you write the songs, yeah, they have the melody, they have all that, but then in terms of a sound, did you pick up things from these producers you met, or did you have a point of view?
I think definitely, like, particularly Tom, I've kind of, like...
So what is that? Give me some examples of what that is.
One of the things that's, like, quite common in our music is, like, double-track vocals.
Okay.
Which is, like, a classic, you know, yep, Beach Boys, yep, Beatles thing.
Right.
Which...
Do you delay slightly, or do you just... or do you literally just
sing
it
twice.
In key and just sing it twice identical?
Yeah.
So that just, that theoretically makes it bigger.
Exactly, yeah, and it has a chorus-y
so
phase and
kind of ethereal sound.
You kind of go lo-fi on your videos, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not into them. Hiring, like, the big, giant video director. You're like, is it, again, because you want to, and I don't mean this in a bad way, you want to keep control of what you're doing?
In a way, I guess, but also...
That's not negative, by the way.
No,
definitely. No, well, I mean, that's kind of like why we produce our own music as well, because Dylan knows what he wants. Yeah, we just kind of went, let's just do something that we can make ourselves. I've pretty much edited and put together most of our videos.
South by Southwest.
Mm.
Let's come on, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
You are the money watt.
The money watt.
You are the money watt. And by the way, when I posted about you, I did take a picture of that sign.
All right.
You did, I'm sure you took a picture.
We got,
yeah,
a picture.
Yeah, I posted it, yeah, and it said, seeing them, and I said, or it might be, you know, and friends and people who, you know, follow were just like, the money watt.
The money watt. Yeah.
But they need an H, so then you can be like a rap band.
What?
The money watt.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing a room in a convention center with people sitting there, like you said it really well, Garvin. It's like, well, we're here for a seminar.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done 4 shows so far, and that was the most like
stayed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely. And you know, it was cool. It was definitely cool. It's more challenging when the house lights are on and people, as you said, are sitting. So this is the first time we've ever played in the States. So that's been surprising, that there's at least a small amount of people that know the songs and stuff, and that people are coming to check it out.
So have people been have you been getting pitched heavily?
Yeah, we've met quite a lot of people.
And has anybody like resonated with you?
Yes, actually. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of that were kind of in touch before South By, and this was their first opportunity to see us, and I think, I mean, at least they said they like the show and like the band. So those things are always hard to tell, though, because, you know, like, especially at an event like this, everyone's like so boisterous and yeah.
Do you want to go with a cute little indie label that's going to kind of get you out there, or you want to go with somebody who's really going to have the power, but you're going to have to really be careful about what you tell them you're going to do?
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this yesterday, actually. Like, we want someone who is just gonna do hard work for us, who actually believes in what we're doing, you know? Like, it's not about getting a bunch of money or...
It doesn't have to happen right now for us, and we don't need, like, because we produce ourselves at the moment, we don't need a massive advance, so we're not in a rush to go, like, we're taking over the world this year. It's like, we want a team that believes in what we're doing, basically. First thing we've got to do is finish this album. We've got heaps and heaps of songs. It's just working out what goes together.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, the singles thing is, like, there still needs to be singles from it. So it's like...
There it does.
You know, yep. That's the way it is, you know. Like,
that's the world.
Yeah.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is 2 of your songs on the outside. And then we have 40 minutes to play anything we want. Anything you want in between.